40.
Okay, okay, with Hashem's help, we're learning Masechet Sanhedrin 24a, Kaf Dalad Amud Aleph, new Mishnah. So, Mishnah says, Amar lo, if he says to him, who are we talking about? We're talking about a litigant says to his other litigant, to his opponent, Ne'aman alai Abba, father is acceptable to me, meaning either his father or the other one's father.
As a judge.
As a judge. Your father or my father, oh, here we go. Now we can really talk.
From
Abraham.
Now, didn't we talk about this somewhere?
We mentioned it earlier. It was brought in the earlier Sukkiah. This is the Mishnah where it's
So it says to me about three cattle herders. It mentions to me about three cattle herders before.
Cattle herders, right. So, you dive in downstairs and
there's no time. Okay. Next is by 6. We finish now. After 9.
Oh, they start
at 4 hours.
They start at 5:15, 5:20. No, not today. When they start next, it's 5:20. So 5:20 to 9:20 is 4 hours. Long time.
So Mikosh, the Shivas to them, I understand. So when he started in the forest institute, they did all close here.
I go out to meet my beloved in the field, Amalech Basadeh, in the month of Elul, king is in the field, Amalech Basadeh. I go meet the king, go meet him in the field. Ani Ladodi Vadodili. I am to my beloved, he is to me. But I have to be to my beloved first, and then he's to me. It comes first, that bit. Ani Ladodi. And after that comes the Dodi. Right? Anila Dodi. I have to go out to him and then he comes to me. Huh? I do. Anila Dodi. I am to my beloved. And then he comes to me. Dodi Lee. And the I, it's me.
Me.
Me. You. You, me, us. The person. Dodi is Hashem. Nice, very nice. Roshe Tevot Elul. Nice. Roshe Tevot of Anila Dodi Vadodi Li is Elul. Sfardim, who have 40 days of Slichot starting from today. Sfardim do 40 days of Slichot. Why do they do 40 days? Because 40 days is the time that Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain. The second time to get the tablets. And he came back on Yom Kippur with the tablets. That's 40 days from today. So he's up up the mountain for 40 days. So it's an eight rats on. These 40 days were an eight rats on. Right? Hashem forgave us after the golden calf, gave us the second set of commandments. So it's an eight rats on right now. That's why they do sleep up for 40 days.
3.9.
Also, see.
Well, we fast the Yom Kippur.
Why?
Because the first ones are 40 days in Hashem Bore.
Yeah.
And when Moshe Rabbeinu also took 40 days, when they came back and said that was fast.
Yofi. So, and the words Anila Dodiva Dodili, which is what you take by Elod, if you take the last letter instead of the first letter, the last letter of Anila Dodiva Dodili, Yud, 4 yuds.
40
days. Also, in allusion to the 40 days of Sukkot, 40 days. So, that's because we're not up to it. We don't have the. We don't have the kesher that Sephardi do. You see, it's wonderful. The Sephardi boys, men, come to davening, shorts and t-shirts, no kippah, they're looking around for kippah, put a kippah on the head, and they're davening away much more devakrit than anyone else who's been trying to do it for like 40 years, day in, day out. Tov, anyway, each to their own. Each has made everyone with their own talents and abilities. Tov, win this new Mishnah. Kaf Dalad Amud Aleph. Amaullah, if he said to him, Kaf Dalad Amud Aleph, about 2/3 of the way down the page. If he said to him, Ne'man alai Abba, one litigant, Shalom Rav Yoel. If one litigant said to the other, Ne'man alai Abba, father is Ne'man alai, is believable to me, is acceptable to me. Right, Rashi says, what does that mean? Liot Dayan, to be a judge. If one says, I accept my father or your father, it doesn't really matter, to be a judge. Or he says, Ne'man alai shlosha ra'e bakar, or 3 cattle herders from the shuk are acceptable for me to be judges in this case. It's so easy, it's so obvious. 3 cattle herders will be able to see that I'm completely in the right.
Right, but 3 cattle herders back then are a much higher level than what we have nowadays judges.
Yeah, they're higher than the Supreme Court judges. Yeah, 3 cattle herders in the old days were much higher than 3 Supreme Court judges in this day and age, probably. Certainly, at least they're a lot more truthful.
Yeah. You're probably right.
So, the animals of the Gadolim that knew whether food was kosher or not to eat it. People these days don't know. Tov, okay. So, what happens if a litigant accepts someone who is halachically otherwise ineligible? Doesn't have to accept him, but he chooses to accept him. So, first of all, let's just see, you are allowed to accept someone in a. This isn't a case of monetary cases. Dine mamonot. The case of monetary cases, I can choose how I want my money to be dealt with. It's my money. If I say that we're going to be judged by a 3-year-old kid, well, fine. It's your money. You can choose how you lose it, right? There's nothing wrong with that. You can make a kinyan, an agreement, binding by agreeing something. I agree that. If I manage to drink this cup of water in 3 seconds, that you get 20 shekels, right? I can make a binding agreement on anything. So just like I can make an agreement to give you my money for any reason I choose, so too I can make an agreement to give you my money based on the decision of a cattle herder. That's what I chose. That's It's just a form of contract. Right? We're passing money from one person to another on the basis of an agreement. How's that money going to pass to you? It's going to pass in the way we agree. If two people agree on a method of passing money between one and another, so it's called a contract. And it doesn't matter if it's in the form of a court case or in the form of a sale. It's simply an agreement of how money is passing between you and me. Right?
The question I had is, if the cattle herders are expert in cattle, assumption, and the dispute is dealing with cattle, wouldn't that be appropriate?
If what?
If your dispute is dealing with cattle, and the three cattle herders are expert in cattle, so you're using expert judges.
No, but we're not talking about that. We're not talking about the fact that they're expert. We're talking about people who are clearly not expert. Right? People who I choose as ineligible, but I chose them. So that choice is binding. Right? In monetary law, I'm allowed to do that. I can't do that in capital punishment, because that's defined by Hashem, by his rules. But in monetary judgment, it's only the same as agreeing, because the truth, I don't need to go to court. I don't need to go to court to settle a dispute. If I have a dispute with you, I say you owe me 20 shekels. I say, no, I don't. So we don't have to go to court. We can sit down here and decide, okay, fine, let's work out how we're going to decide who owes the money. Right? And we're going to say, okay, we're going to tell Abraham, and if Abraham agrees, you get the money, and if he doesn't agree, I don't. We can choose the way we settle that dispute. Just the way we can choose now, we can walk into a courtroom to the Beit Din and say, look guys, we want to settle a dispute, but this is the way we want to do it. That's fine with you. Oh, that's fine. If you want. And it's binding.
Now, what if the judges are puzzled?
Even if they're puzzled. He is puzzled. This is a case of puzzle. The judge is a father. He's puzzled from being a judge. He can't be a judge and a witness and a judge on his son. However, because we're saying we're agreeing monetary dispute, so we can choose how we want to agree that, including people who are puzzled. Relatives, children, slaves, whatever you want. Cattle herders, right? The works. Yes? Okay. Top. Okay. So that's the basis, that's the background. Like he's allowed to pick, he's allowed to say, Ne'eman Alai, Abba, my father, your father's good for me, or these cattle herders are also good for me. But if he does that, if he chooses that, now we have a machloket about whether he can retract. So that's what we saw before, the machloket Rabbi Meir. Right? So Rabbi Meir Omer, Yachol Lachzorbo. Rabbi Meir says he can retract, he can go back. Chachamim omrim eino yachol lachzorbo. Chachamim say no, he can't. Right? So if you choose that method, come back out halfway when you realize that they don't know what they're talking about, or you realize that he's biased, or whatever it is that you realize. You made an agreement. Just like if I say to you, I bet you I can drink this water in 3 seconds, and you say, I don't think you can, I'll bet you 20 shekels. If we start, I say, okay, here we go, 1, 2, and on the way, I've changed my mind. You can't do that. You can't change your mind halfway through. You made an agreement. So the sheet of Rabbi Meir is, you made the agreement, you can't change your mind halfway through. It's a binding contract. You've agreed how to split the money. You can't go back halfway through the contract and decide now, actually, I've changed my mind. But Chachamim say you can. So that's Rabbi Meir. Chachamim say, no, you can. You're allowed to, because it's not a valid court. The court with the father, or the cattle herders, or anything else. They're two examples of a non-halachically constituted court. And Hachamim say, no, you could choose at any time to actually, you know what, let's just go with a proper court. This is not really a proper court. It's not going to work. It's biased. It's wrong. I want to be judged by a proper court. He has that right, say the Hachamim, at any time, and probably up until the final verdict, to say that Because when it comes to the final verdict, you could say, maybe, I don't know, I haven't looked at it, but you could say, once you have the final verdict, you've now got a different scenario. He now doesn't owe him the money anymore. You made a different agreement. So there's no new court case. You go to court and say, he owed me 20 shekels, and he didn't pay me back. And he comes back and says, you're right, but then we had an agreement to three cattle herders that I don't have to pay you back. Cool, so it's fine, that's also binding. So you can't retract, I think, Lynetta, you can't retract once the kangaroo court's made its decision. Okay, Tov, so that's our machloket in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and Hachamim. That's part one. Part two of the Mishnah says like this. Hayah hayav l'chaveiro shiruah. If he was obligated on an oath. So we said that in a monetary case, there can be occasions where one of the parties is obligated an oath. So there's two types of oath that can be obligated, generally speaking. There's probably others, but the two we're going to deal with are an oath on the defendant and an oath on the plaintiff. Right, the defendant is the one that, in this case, the one that owes the money, the one the claim is against. He hasn't paid it back, or he needs to pay and he hasn't paid. And the plaintiff is the one who's bringing the claim, that wants the money, that says, you owe me money. Right? So, according to Torah law allows or gives an opportunity for an oath to be made against the defendant. The defendant who says, I don't owe him the money. I don't have to pay. If he makes an oath, then he doesn't have to pay. He makes an oath on holding a Torah scroll, using the name of Hashem in the oath, then he doesn't have to pay the money. Right? There's no other witnesses. Right? If there were witnesses, then it's a different matter. But if there's no witnesses, we haven't got any other proof, and he is prepared to swear an oath, he'll swear an oath and then he's believed. That's good enough to win the case. But I don't owe him the money. I hear what he says, he's claiming the money against me, but he holds the Torah and he says with the name of Hashem, I don't owe the money. Done. That's called a biblical oath, a deraita oath from Torah law. The rabbis also instituted rabbinic oath, which can be made on the plaintiff. According to Torah law, there's no oath that the plaintiff can make. You owe me the money. It doesn't exist. But the rabbis made a similar oath in the case of a plaintiff. He's also I haven't got any further explanation about this situation. The rabbis can also make him swear an oath rabbinically, but in the same fashion, that he is owed the money and he hasn't paid me back and he still owes it to me. That's a rabbinic oath.
Say that again.
Rabbinically, the rabbis can make the plaintiff, the claimant, make that oath instead.
The one who wants the money.
The one who wants the money.
The bar that.
Right. And he says, he owes me the money, he hasn't paid me back. He makes an oath. And if there's no other evidence, he wins. Right? But that's a rabbi remedy. It's not a Torah remedy. Torah doesn't say anything about that. It doesn't exist in the Torah. Doesn't mean you can't do it. The rabbis decided to make the... So here, we're going to see later on in the Gemara, we don't yet know which one we're talking about. Right? Because they're two different... They have two different sources, two different bases. One's rabbinic, one's deraita. One's on the plaintiff, one's on the claimant. But here, the Mishnah just tells us, if he obligated his friend to make an oath, right? We don't know which one yet. But in the court, one of the litigants was obligated to make an oath. The Amarla, and he said to him, right, the one who doesn't have to make the oath said to the one who does have to make the oath, Dorli, Dor from the word Neder, Dor to swear. Swear to me, b'chayei roshecha. Swear to me by the life of your head. He's giving him a let out. He's saying, you don't have to pick up a Torah scroll. and swear we're using one of Hashem's names. Just swear on your own life that you're not lying, and I'll accept it. You swear to me on your own life, you come to the court, that you haven't paid me the money, and that's good enough for me. Right? I'm not going to make you do the Torah thing. If he does that, Rabbi Meir Omer, Yechol Lachzorbo, Chachamim Omer, En Yechol Lachzorbo. Right, same dispute. Rabbi Meir says, if he says, I let you take the lesser oath, Rabbi Meir says, he can retract. Say, you know what? Right, he says, I don't think you didn't pay me back, and I want to see you swear. I don't care, swear whatever, swear on your life. And the guy says, I swear on my life, Lord. Right? And he's like, I can't believe you did that. No, I'm not accepting it at all. I want you to swear on a Torah now. Right? Because he still doesn't believe, he didn't believe he was going to do it. Then he did it. So he wants him to swear on the full Torah now. Rabbi Meir says, yeah, you can. You can retract that and make him swear his proper oath according to Torah law. I'm going to say, no. You accepted the lower oath. You can't go back. You accepted it. You agreed it. So, okay, so that's the Mishnah. Mishnah clear? Yeah. Amar Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi, when he came from Babel, Berea de Rav Nachman, he was the son of Rav Nachman, Berea de Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rav Yosef. Lineage. Pressure. FFB. Tov. Kagon, he was, well, he wasn't FFB, he was AFB, Amora from birth. He was an Amora from birth. Amora, Tana from birth. He was born into the job. Rav Dimi. Dimi Atana? No, Amora. Amora. No, it's Amora. Yeah. But he was born into it.
He was
like that? Dimi, right?
Which generation? First generation, second generation?
Dimi.
I have to look at this.
Yeah.
First generation, second generation.
Tov, so what did Rav Dimi say? Rav Dimi said like this. Kagon, for example, the Kablei Aleha Bechad. We're talking about, says Rav Dimi, where he accepted upon himself Bechad as one. What does he mean? He means there's an option here. It's not clear from the Mishnah. Rav Dimi comes to clarify the Mishnah. We don't know from the Mishnah. When he said he accepted him as a judge, did he accept the father in place of three judges? Right, normally you need three judges. Did he say, your father or my father is acceptable as a judge? Did he mean the judge? And forget the rest, we're not three. Or does he mean one of the three? Why does it make a difference? Why do I care whether it's he meant in place of all three judges or one of the three will be your father? Why does it matter? Because halachically, then, there are two problems. There's two changes from the norm. One change is that instead of three judges, you now only got one. And one change is that one judge you have is now also passable. So you've got two, you're two removed. And halachically, that may well be different than that just having one difference. Because according to Rav Dimi, we're only talking about there's one change. Meaning there were still three judges, it was just one of them was your father, one of them was passive. There was one difference. Whereas if it would have been that there was two differences, meaning that there weren't three judges, there was only one judge, and he was your father, it might be that, according to Rav Dimi, certainly would say that that wouldn't have been the result. Rabbi Meir and Hachamim wouldn't have said what they said. They only said that in the place where the father was in place of one judge. So there were still three valid judges. For example, what Rav Dimi may have said, we haven't got it here, but Rav Dimi may have said, in the case of where you change it to, you don't have three judges, you only have one, and that one is not fassal, even Chachamim would agree, you can go back and say, no, this is not a court at all, let's go back and get a court. But where you had one change from a normal court, Rav Dimi, his shita is, that's what we're talking about. That there's a halachic nachkamina, there's a halachic difference in how many changes from the norm you have. Right? Maybe you can say also, Rav Dimi learns this out from the Mishnah itself, because the Mishnah itself says, in the second clause, or three cattle herders. So when three cattle herders, you're still keeping three judges. Why say three cattle herders instead of one or two? To show that there's only actually one change. So two in the first example, when he makes one father the judge, there are still three judges. Two, one. Altogether there's three.
He's talking about the chadai. There's one judge. He's one judge. Even though that there are two other judges, what does Bahadei mean?
Judges mean.
Well, even though there are two others, yeah. Rabbi Meir says that he can go back on. It should be. Doesn't should be even though.
Right, it goes the other way. So what, I said it the other way. I said it, if there wasn't, and Chachamim would say you could go back. Rashi takes the other side of the point, same thing. He said, if it was the other way, right, even though there were two judges, the strength of Rabbi Meir, he still allows you to go back. Even though there were two Tana judges, he still allows you to go back, so you see the strength of Rabbi Meir's position. Because we know that one valid judge who is an expert is good enough. So even though there were two valid judges, Rabbi Meir still allows you to retract because you didn't have three valid judges.
Judges means a person.
So judges, it depends on the judges. Judges is plural. One judge.
Three judges.
Yeah, three people.
So that's why he referred it to three cattle herders, because he still had three.
Because he still had three, that's why.
Even though there were two other judges, so it would be more obvious that he can go back on it. Because you're left with two good ones.
You're left with two, so you should say that you can't retract. He's retracting the case. He's retracting and saying, even though this court, which was comprised of two valid judges and one invalid, if you want to change and go back, you can. Which is, even though there were two valid judges, if there weren't two valid judges, for sure you can go back, you would have said. If there was just one judge who was the father and he wanted to change his mind, so fine, you could understand it. So here Rashi's saying, even though there were additional two valid judges, high court, Chochma, rabbinic figures, who were agreeing, there were two judges, and the two are obviously in the majority. So even though the two who were in the majority deciding the case were also part of that judgment, you could still go back. And say, no, I don't agree with this judgment. I want to start again. Start again from scratch. Right? Okay. I lost the case. Why did I lose the case? Because I had your father on the panel. I agreed at the beginning that your father could be one of the judges. Right? He's a very posh of a man, and I trust him. He's a bit known in the community, and he's been a Dayan for 40 years. Fine, bring him, let him be on the judging panel. Him and two other judges. I agree. So he's your father, but he's a good man. Trust me, I'm happy. And we run the case. And at the end of the case, I lost. And I can't believe I lost. You know what? Your father must have been biased. I'm refusing to that, and let's start again. According to Rabbi Meir, you can do that. Even though there were two valid judges, you can still do it. And Rav Dini comes along to say that when that our mission is talking about where the father was only one of three, not where he was one by himself. Because where he was one by himself, so you might say it's not a big chiddush to say, if it was just his father deciding between the two of you, for sure, it's not a valid judgment. But where you have two valid judges, that's what Rashi says, even though there were two valid judges, you can still retract.
You're finding three new judges?
Starting again. It doesn't have to be new judges. Starting again. Maybe the two valid judges who were good, but just get rid of the father and start again. But it means retract my agreement to this form of court. Okay. So Rav Dimi over there is explaining, clarifying the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, my father, he means as one of the judges. Doesn't mean as instead of all three. Okay, next. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says the name is Shmuel. Machloket v'machol lecha. The dispute we're talking about, again, we're clarifying the scenario of the Mishnah. What dispute are we talking about? So Rav Dimi started and he clarified we're talking about there's still three judges. And only one of them was the father. Now along comes Rav Yehuda, says the name is Shmuel. I'm also going to refine it further. The dispute we're talking about, the scenario that we're talking about, is a case of machloket v'machul lecha. A case of machul. What's machul? When someone walks past you in the hallway and shoves their bag in your face, machila, right? And you say machul lecha, machul lecha. I forgive you. You're forgiven. Right, you're forgiven from your obligation. Right, you're forgiven from your obligation is what it means here in this context. The case of a court case, someone who is obligated to something or wants to be forgiven. What does it mean? For example, where the claimant is prepared to forgive the debt owed by the defendant, the other litigant. Right? For example, someone owes money, he lent him money. He lent him 100 shekels. And he hasn't paid it back. Now, there are two ways of describing the dispute. It's the same dispute, but it's two ways of describing it. And it makes a difference. We're going to see, it makes a difference halakhically what's going on. One is, the plaintiff comes and he wants his money back. And he says, I want my money. You owe me the money. And the defendant says to him, I will give you the money if this court finds that I owe it. If the court finds I owe the money, I will give it to you. And the other way of describing the case is like this. The one who the plaintiff, the claimant, says to the defendant, if the court agrees with you, then I forgive you. You don't have to pay me back. So this is, we're talking about the same situation. We're just looking at it from a different angle. What A owes B 100 shekels in both cases. One is saying, I will give you the money if the court says I need to. And the other one's saying, I will forgive you the debt if the court says I need to. If the court agrees with you, I'll forgive the debt. The other one says, if the court agrees with you, I'll pay you the money. But they're two different claims halakhically, and we'll see why now. So Rabbi Huda says, we're dealing with the first type. Where it's a machloket b'machul lecha on the claimant saying, I will forgive you the debt. Aval, but ba'aten lecha, if it was the other way around, a ten lecha, where the defendant is saying, I will give you the money if the court holds against me, Divrei Akol Yachol Lavzorbo. Everyone agrees, in that case of Rabbi Buddha, that he can retract. The defendant can retract and get rid of this core, which is made up of cattle herders or the father. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Ve'eten Lacha Machloket. Rabbi Yochanan says different. We'll come to Rabbi Yochanan in a minute. But let's just look at the first case. The first case, which is Rabbi Yehuda, says like this. That's a challenge. I'm going to use the new two ship just to be able to use them, because it's a big foot. And for Rabbi Yaakov, it's a foot that we should learn Torah in his generosity. So, Tom, so we have. I will forgive you the debt. Right, that's one. But the alternative is I will pay you the money. Right? This one is made. This is a claim. This is the claimant says that. And this is the defendant. Right, so it, the claimant is, these are options. It's either that or, right, it's either one or two. The claimant can say to the defendant, I'll forgive you the debt if the court finds it in your favor. Or the defendant can say, I'll pay you the money back if the court finds it in your favor. It's the same thing, it's the same case, but it has a different result. What's the different result? The different result is in the case of whether you can retract on an ineligible court. You agreed at the beginning to have an ineligible court. You agreed the father was going to sit on the judging panel. You agreed it was going to be three shepherds from the marketplace. When can you retract? Says Rav Yehuda, you can retract. You can retract in this case, but you can't retract in that case. If this happened to be the case you were dealing with, you could retract. But if this happened to be the case you were dealing with, you can't retract. So what's the difference? So it's the same case. He owed him 100 shekels. He went to court. He sat three guys down there. What's the difference? The difference is like this. In the case of number one, I will forgive you the debt. Then, Tom, let's speak it out.
They can say, no, I pay you back. Why do you want to forgive me?
No, he didn't say that.
What?
He said, I will forgive you the debt.
I own your money. You say, I forgive you.
Yeah.
You're supposed to pay me back.
Yeah.
I said, no, I ain't paying you the money.
No, no, we're talking about the court. In a court, they're caught, they're arguing. So in the court, he says, I will forgive you the debt if the court agrees that you don't need to pay it. That's one type of case. And the other one is, no, I'm going to pay you the money if the court agrees that I have to pay you the money. What's the difference? The difference is, in this case, case number one, there is no money changing hands. The only thing there is the forgiveness of a debt. The forgiveness of a debt has no money changing hands. Right? If the court finds in favor, then nothing happens. We just waive the debt. You don't owe it to me anymore. But in case number two, if the court finds in favor, he has to pay it out. He's got to give the money to the other person. So Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out the fact, if you've got a court, if you've got a court that is not properly constituted, then you can always retract it in the case of any normal claim, any monetary claim where money is passing from A to B. You can retract it because money is passing from A to B. You need three valid judges, according to the Shita. You need three valid judges to take money from A and give it to B. And if you haven't got three valid judges who do that, then I can retract at any time. You're right, I agreed. I agreed to have three shepherds. But you know what? I changed my mind. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you can do that. Everyone agrees. Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Everyone agrees that in the case of paying over money, this case, everyone agrees you can retract. A bad court. You can retract because it's not a proper court. If you agree, it's fine. You agree to give money to whoever you like. But if you change your mind, you can go back to the good court. I know. If you're going to take the money off me, I demand to have a valid court of three valid judges. You're allowed to demand that. But in this case, where you're just forgiving a debt, and the court agreed that you forgive the debt. So fine, that's a situation where you're stuck with it. You don't need a valid court to forgive a debt. What if there's no money passing from A to B? You just forgave him. Right, so if it's a case of the forgiveness of the debt, where you said, if the court agree with me, I'll forgive the debt, and the court happened to be three cattle herders, and they say, you know what, we agree with him, you have to forgive the debt. So at that point, according to Rabbi Meir, we still have my pocket, Rabbi Meir, I come in. According to Rabbi Meir, you can't change your mind. That's the case where Rabbi Meir says, no, you're stuck with that decision. You chose to be cattle herders. It's a forgiveness of a debt. There's no money changing hands. That's valid, that's binding.
Is Rabbi, forgiveness debt like bankruptcy?
No. No. It's a simple debt. You owe me 20 shekels, I say you don't have to pay me back. That's it. It's forgiveness of the debt. I forgive you the obligation to pay it back. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, but Rabbi Yochanan says, V'atein lacham atloket. The dispute is actually the reverse. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you're right. There is a difference between A and B. There are two types of cases, like we said. But I go a different way. Rabbi Yochanan says, other way around, or different way. You're right. In the case of the forgiveness of debt, there's no money passing. And here you need money passing. What does it mean? It means, says Rabbi Yochanan, says all agree he says this is the case Rabbi Yehuda says this is the case of our Mishnah, right? And that was Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Yehuda explained and said, this is the case of our Mishnah. The case of machloket, of a forgiveness of the debt. And who forgives the debt in this case? So Rabbi Meir, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says, can retract in this scenario? And Hachamim says, can't retract in this scenario. But this is the scenario we're dealing with in the Mishnah. Right, that's what the argument is about in the case of this machlokes debt. Because if it was this case, said Rabbi Yehuda, everyone agrees. Right, there's no machloket between Rabbi Meir and Hachamim in this case number two. They all agree that you can retract. But in this case, they do have a machloket between Rabbi Meir says you can, and Rabbi Hachamim says you can't. That was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda looks at it the other way around and says, no. You're right, there's a difference, but our Mishnah is not dealing with this case, it's actually dealing with this case, Dafka, the opposite. It's Dafka dealing with the opposite case, where I owe you money. And what's the machloket? The machloket is now Rabbi Meir says, can retract. And Hachamim say, can't retract. Right? Why? Because here, Hachamim say, can't retract, it's easier. By Hachamim say it's a payment of money, and it's It's a debt, and the debt needs to be paid back by quarter three. If you haven't got a valid quarter three, you can retract. Sorry, but I'm going to say that. How come you say you can't retract?
Yes.
That was the point. Yeah, I know your point. Chachamim say you can't retract. Chachamim say you can't retract. And that's a dispute. Because the question is, we're going to see now what the Gemara is going to say, the question is, what do they hold in this case? And we don't know, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what they would hold in the case of Bachor. Is that Kal Vachomer or not? Right, in the case of where it is a monetary payment from one payment to the other, that's the case we're dealing with, said Rabbi Yochanan. And that's the dispute between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Their shita is whether or not you're allowed to retract once you've made an agreement. Even in the case of where money is passing, we still allow you to retract, said Rabbi Meir. And Chachamim says, no, you can't retract. Based on the...
What case they're talking about?
Because why? Because it turns out that when you look into it closely, you see there are different types of case. Right. So when you say that, I'm going to tell you how the court system works. You need three judges. If you appoint a judge, you can change your mind. If you want to, right? So you can say, well, that rule applies across the board. That's the system. But if you can look into the system, look into the, and find there's a difference between certain types of cases. Maybe we're only talking here, monetary cases are different than capital crimes, for sure. So we need to then logically reason where they're actually talking about. So now we're digging now, we see there's actually two types of claim. So is it relevant? So it's not relevant, for example, there's three judges. No one said when you pick three judges, only if it's a claim of machol, but not a claim of I'm going to give you the money. It's irrelevant. Right, the fact that you need three judges is irrelevant. But when it comes to retracting on your position, so now it becomes relevant. The strength of the whether it's binding here or seeing depends on what it is that the court is being asked to do. The court is being asked to make a monetary payment from one person to another, then you can have an argument that you need to have a valid court. But if the court's not being asked to move money from one party to the other, then you can argue, it's a shita, that you actually don't need a valid court, and therefore it's more binding. You can say that it's binding even on three shepherds. I don't need a valid court to forgive a debt. So we can make a finer distinction. And really that's what the Gemara wants to do. The shita in the Gemara, which is to try and make the machloket between any dispute very narrow. We don't want to say that they argue on everything. Every time you have a court case, Rabbi Meir says this. Every time you have a court case, Chachamim say that. No, we want to say that actually the dispute is usually very fine. Meaning, most of the time, in 99.9% of all situations in life, every single Tana is agreeing with every other Tana. The Chachamim are agreeing with each other. What situations are they not agreeing? Only in very fine situations, they're finding a nafkamina, difference between their shita. In the case where you had this and this and this, in that case we would disagree. And the more narrow you can define their argument, the greater agreement you ultimately find in the Gemara, that everyone's actually agreeing with them, and only in these very fine areas. Thank you for that today.